You're listening to A Senior Moment, the show for and about seniors. I'm Joanne Rideout. I'm here in the studio this month with Suzanne Bjornsson. She's from Northwest Senior and Disability Services, and Doug Schaefer from the Olympic Area Agency on Aging. Hi.
Hi.
Thanks for being here. We're here on A Senior Moment, and we're here to talk to you about senior issues. And we have kind of an exciting announcement today. Michelle Lewis, who we had with us for many years, has retired. Lucky Michelle. and now we have a new person in her place who's representing Northwest Senior Disability Services, and that is Suzanne Bjornsson. Hi.
Hello.
We're so glad to have you with us. So
thank
she's
you.
Going to be doing the show with us every month. And we wanted to just sort of introduce her to you since you'll be hearing her voice on the show. She's the Community Program Supervisor for Northwest Senior and Disability Services. So, Suzanne, tell us a little bit about you. How you've worked with Northwest Senior and Disability Services for a while now, right?
Mm-hmm. I've worked for Northwest Seniors for 3 years. My previous role, I was a case manager, and that was prior to taking on this role.
So now you, as community program supervisor, what does that mean?
Well, we have several programs through the agency that we oversee and help facilitate. We have programs like a family caregiver support program, options counseling, peer counseling. We do some Medicare help that, through our SHEBA program, home delivered meals. We have a fairly new program in the community called Otago, and that's pretty exciting to help people with their mobility. So within all those, we're just basically working with people, giving them additional options, giving them resources, seeing what other information that we have out there that can be helpful to them, help guiding them through the process.
Okay, well, I thought it might be interesting. I mean, we talk about a lot of things on this show, and basically what I like to just let people know is that at the end of the show we'll give contact information, but these two organizations which are on, that these two folks represent, are on either side of the Columbia River, and they represent a really wide range of options and services for people who are either elderly themselves or are caring for an elder. And so we'll have contact information. If you have a question, you can just contact these organizations in your state. And chances are there's some help or advice that you can get that will help you with many, many issues relating to senior things. But why don't we start out with the ones that you mentioned? Just talk a little bit about the Family Caregiver Program and what that offers.
Mm-hmm. Family Caregiver Support Program, that's a program for people who might be taking care of a loved one in their home, and they might need additional respite care help. So maybe they, for example, they might be going on a vacation, or they might have some meetings coming up that they need to attend to, but they can't leave their loved one alone that might need some care. So there's some funds there that are available that we can look into to help somebody out in a case like that.
Okay. So, Doug, we always like to say what's happening in Washington. So is there a similar program in Washington for
people?
Yeah,
the Family Caregiver Support Program in Washington is the one program that, with all the Medicaid ins and outs and cuts, has continued to grow and expand in the state of Washington. It's reached the point now where this year we have some actual federal Medicaid dollars that are coming in to support the state funds for this, a couple of different programs that are designed for to keep people from becoming impoverished and then going on Medicaid. We can come in and intervene early and get them some services without going on to full-blown Medicaid. Also, we do the respite services also. Mm-hmm. If you have an unpaid family caregiver taking care of another family member, we can hire a caregiver or fund a caregiver to go into the home and be with that person while the caregiver has to go out and do whatever they do. In some instances, the respite worker is in there while the spouse is not out of the house. They're in the room sleeping because they haven't been able to sleep for a long time, but they just need that respite, that break. And as Suzanne said, the care receiver can't be left alone, so someone can come in and cover that. Mm-hmm. We've got services for that. We also provide, if you qualify for certain parts of the program, we can fund counseling for the caregiver. We've actually funded gym memberships. We can do all kinds of things like that to get them into support groups and those different kind of things. The whole goal of the Family Caregiver Support Program is to keep the caregiver healthy, mm-hmm. so they can keep doing what they're doing.
Well, I've always been really startled by that that fact that I learned in a caregiver class myself at Northwest Senior and Disability Services, that sometimes the caregivers die before the person they're caring
yes.
for. Mm-hmm. That is really sobering. I mean, it is. I know that it is exhausting to do that mm-hmm. kind of thing. So there are resources here. If you are someone who is caring for a loved one in your home, this is a program that maybe could help you. So what's the next program we were just talking about before?
Well, our options counseling kind of goes along with that, because that is where basically we're talking to the family members or the consumer themselves and letting them know, you know, learning about their situation before it becomes into a crisis. We want to be proactive. And so that is a moment where we can sit down with the consumer or the family members or everybody who is involved in the situation, learn about their situation, giving them some options and resources in the community, letting them know what it would be like to have a caregiver in the home if that's what they're needing and wanting, or if they are extremely tired, letting them know the reality of what could potentially happen if you're not taking care of yourself as the caregiver. And then giving them a good insight of what, like, an assisted living environment would be like, or a foster home, telling them the difference between that and a nursing home. A lot of people kind of think they're all one and the same. And so, and plus, just kind of getting an idea of somebody's current situation, you have a really good idea of what options are out there in the community, maybe what other community programs or resources or partners that we can use to help them out. And a lot of times, just listening to people, they need to get a lot of they just want to talk, and they need to talk, and we're kind of there to kind of hear them out and sense any urgencies or maybe emergencies and seeing how we can be proactive to help them. So that's a really great program and resource. I don't think people realize that we have available to them that they can utilize us to, you know, help them walk them through and make it the transition a little bit easier.
So just so people sitting out there listening might be thinking, well, how do I know whether I should go to this options counseling? I mean, what kind of situations might prompt somebody to give you a call?
Well, that's a good question. They're exhausted. They need options. Let's say their family member, maybe it's time for them to get additional help, like in a assisted living or foster home, but their family member does not want to go. Of course, we're not going to take anybody's rights away from them whatsoever, but maybe they just need to get their story out, be heard, and then that individual, the consumer, needs to be heard as well. So, you know, just when you don't know where to turn to, you know, it doesn't hurt to reach out. I mean, that's what we're there for.
So. Wow, that's really – I mean, because I think that is one of the most sort of lonely things is saying – wow, I don't have any idea what to do, and I don't know who mm-hmm. to ask. Wow.
Absolutely.
That's really. So is there options counseling in Washington State?
Right. Doug? We have options counseling and person-centered counseling mm-hmm. and all of those things. And we encourage people to – and each of our program people, our direct service people, have been trained in that. So they know when they're dealing with a client, whether it's in home care or respite or whatever it is, that they're not going to just be focused on, well, here's what this program says and does. Mm-hmm. They're also looking at the environment that they're in. And they also present options. As a matter of fact, for the in-home care, our case managers are required to discuss options with the client at their first meeting. And a lot of times we'll get a phone call that just – and we encourage people to do this. I get a phone call in one of our offices that just says, well, I'm not sure who to call, but someone mentioned your office, and here's the situation. You know, my husband, I've been taking care of him for a long time, and, you know, his needs are getting greater. And so that opens up a whole conversation. And all of our staff are trained to follow that conversation. And if necessary, if they want to sit down and they've got somebody that can, you know, stay with the spouse, we'll invite them to the office and say, well, here's the options that you can look at. Now, as Suzanne said, the majority of the clients or the care receivers are going, yeah, I'm not going anywhere. I don't mm-hmm. care. I'm just not going anywhere. But they also don't realize what their caregivers, their family members are going through. You know, and a lot of the family members don't identify as caregivers. They're family members.
Yeah,
you know?
Right.
This is my husband. This is my dad. This is my sibling. This is my child, whatever it might be. So they don't think, well, I'm not a caregiver. I'm just taking care of them as a family member. Well, if you're taking care of somebody, you're a caregiver. So we put that out there and just say, okay, you're a caregiver, but here are options. We can support you to continue what you're doing. And we will stay in contact. So if it gets to a point where you can no longer do it, we can look at these other options we've talked about, or we can look at these options right now. Because like Suzanne was saying, I think when you talk about a facility, everybody thinks they're going to put me in the home. Mm-hmm. You know, well, there is no singular home anymore. And if even if there were, we don't have the authority to put anybody anywhere.
Right,
there's choices.
Right.
And but what we can do is explain like an assisted living, and Suzanne can speak more to that since she used to work for an assisted living, that it has various stages of help. I mean, you can be pretty independent in there, but your stuff's taken care of, you know, and your meals are taken care of, your laundry's taken, but you have your own apartment and all of that. And if you have some increased need, there's support there. So it isn't like, well, what if I want to go someplace? Well, if you're independent and want to go someplace, go someplace. You know, this is where you live. It's like in an apartment house. So, you know, there's those type of things. And, of course, if there is skilled nursing needs 24/7, then we're looking at a nursing facility. But there's a lot of steps between being at home and a nursing facility that could be available.
And I think it's important to reinforce that idea of choice, that you know, these are options for you. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I mean, sometimes some things that we've talked about require a doctor's recommendation or permission, but nobody's going to drag you out of your house or your family member out of their house. It's mostly helping people understand what their options are. And there are many things. There's, I mean, what I've discovered in doing this show for a long time, I think a decade now we've been doing this, Doug, that there's a lot of help there that people probably don't. You know, people will think they're on their own, but they really don't have to be. They can get a lot of support and advice, even if it's just advice they need, they can get that. So what's next on your list of programs we're going to talk about?
Well, we have quite a few. And I what I was saying earlier is I know just enough to be dangerous with because I'm still in the training process. So I don't want to overstep some of the
Oh, but even mentioning that they exist, I mean, just letting people know,
well,
they might go, oh, wow, I never knew that was there. So,
and
sure,
we can definitely give you additional information,
sure,
if just coming into our office and whatnot. So, but we also have the senior health insurance benefits that's through SHEBA. And so people who are trying to make Medicare decisions through Advantage plans and things like that. So we have not very many, but we have a few volunteers in our office, or else we can direct you who to contact to get additional help with that. So when people are trying to make those Medicare choices. Then we also have our home-delivered meals. We have our local meal sites. We have the one in Svensson. We have Warrenton and Seaside. And those are doing well and thriving.
Let me just say, stop for a second and ask Doug about that. So is SHEBA something that's also in Washington?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay,
it's through the Office
not just
of Insurance
Oregon.
Commissioner in each state.
Okay.
And it's in Washington, it's referred to as Statewide Health Insurance Benefits Advisors, but it's the same initials, same program.
I see, okay.
And we have periods where the staff in our office, when Medicare Part D, the prescription part, when that open enrollment period comes, we have staff set aside that just concentrate on that. So if people aren't capable or willing or understanding enough to sort of get online and do it themselves and they want to check their Part D prescription plan, they can call our offices. And we have a little double-sided paper that our staff gives to them that has just the information we need to run the plans. Our staff will run the plans for them and say, well, here's your top three choices. And we get, well, which one do you think is best? Well, we can't.
Right,
we
sure.
can't pick one.
But you can help people sort through it.
Certainly.
I just signed up for Medicare this last time, and I had to go through that. And it was – I went to one of the SHEBA workshops, and, it was a little – talk about it. And it was very helpful because you look at this. I mean, Medicare sends you this book and you might as well. You just kind of want to cry when you're through reading it because it's pretty dense.
If you can lift the book.
Yes.
Yeah, it looks pretty overwhelming. But yeah, if you have people that are knowledgeable and you can take it step by step out, you know, you can really kind of explain it and make it more simplified to what's appropriate for you. You may not need to be so overwhelmed by that huge book.
Exactly.
Well, and I found that, you know, just being in a place where you could ask a question.
Sure.
That wasn't answered in the book. You could say, well, what about that? And they'd say, oh, well, you know, they'd answer something that genuinely was not in the information but was important to know.
Mm-hmm. So. Let me address that just for a second in one particular area because we have SHEBA workers that also specialize in the Medigap or the supplemental insurances. And what a lot of people don't realize is that, we have people coming in saying, well, I saw this advertisement on TV. And they said, this is the supplemental plan, so I want to sign up for it. Well, there's different levels of plans also. Mm-hmm. In Oregon, you have Advantage plans where you can add to Medicare different coverages. We don't have that in Pacific County. But on the supplemental plans, for example, there's one category that's just called F plans. Mm-hmm. And they all have to cover the same thing. They're all Medicare monitored, and they have to cover the same benefits. But you can go from a range of about maybe $100 to almost $200 in premiums, depending upon which plan you take.
Wow.
Some people say, I see it on TV all the time. I said, well, that's why the premium's higher, because they're advertising all the time.
Yeah, yeah.
But all the plans have to cover the same thing. So we have people that will sit down and go through each plan and see what works best for them.
That's most cost-effective. That's, yeah, Oregon has the supplemental plans as well.
Yeah.
So. And so about the home meal, how widely, Suzanne, let me ask you this, how widely available is that? Meals on Wheels, is that what it's called?
The home-delivered meals.
Yeah, home-delivered
meals. Well, a lot of times there's volunteer opportunities too.
exactly.
I'll plug that. It's a lot of times it's how far out the drivers are able to go. So we have a volunteer that drives all over Svensson area and Lewis and Clark and whatnot. You know, and I want to say that with a caution, because it really depends on how many people are on the home delivered meal plans and what is and how many volunteers we have to be able to get all the meals out. So there is a limited area, but we do the whole, you know, seaside area. It gets difficult when it comes out to Jewel and places like that. However, what we can do is if they have a family member or somebody that is willing and able to go to the meal site and get some prepared, prepackaged meals and deliver it, we can get things like that ready. So we can still make sure somebody out there, let's say in the Jewel area, can still get their meals. So, but yeah, so it's a volunteer thing. So it just depends on and who we have available to help out with that.
Okay. I just want to take a moment and remind you that you're listening to A Senior Moment, the show for and about seniors. I'm Joanne Reidard. I'm here in the studio with Suzanne Bjornsson, Northwest Senior Disability Services, and Doug Schaefer from the Olympic Area Agency on Aging. We're kind of doing an overview show. We're welcoming Suzanne to our regular, as a regular guest on the show. And she's replacing someone you've heard for years, Michelle Lewis, who retired. Bless you, Michelle. Going off to the sunny climes, we hear. Rats, it's still raining here. But at any rate, you're going to hear Suzanne's voice on the show every month. And so we're kind of doing an overview show of what kinds of general services are available through Northwest Senior and Disability Services in Oregon and the Olympic Area Agency on Aging in Washington, which are two tremendous resources for you and for your family. If you are in the position of being a family member who's caring for an elder, if you are an older person yourself and thinking, I might need a little help with this and that, these are great organizations to go to just find out what your options are. We were talking about options counseling. So what are some other things that we could chat about what you can, you know, what Northwest Senior and Disability Services can help people with?
Sure. We have a peer counseling program.
Oh, let's talk about that, peer counseling.
Yeah, that's really neat. So people who have, like, slight depression, maybe loneliness, things like that. We'll have screenings that will come through for that. So if somebody is like, yeah, I could, that sounds like something I could utilize. They can just call our office. We can put a screening through for it. But, basically what that is, we'll go out to someone's home and there's a process that I was able to sit on recently and we ask them some questions to kind of see where they're at as far as, their need and what resources they have and what their goals are. And then if they seem like they'd be a good candidate for the program, there's these workbooks that they work with a peer counselor. And so we have a couple of volunteers right now in this county that are working through our agency that will go out to people's homes and work through these self-directed workbooks that basically are giving people the tools so they can work themselves out of, I don't want to say out of a full depression or anything like that, but basically help them make choices that are going to benefit them, choices that they want to make. It's a program to really help give people some guidance and tools so they can be, you know, independent and live healthier and whatnot. And what I like about it is it's extra eyes in the home helping people. These can be people that are on Medicaid services currently, and maybe they just need somebody extra to talk to, you know. And so it's a really good resource to really have that for our seniors or, you know, people suffering from slight depression and whatnot. And I think it's pretty valuable.
Mm-hmm. So. Well, Doug, let me ask you, and let's just backtrack a little bit. Let me ask you about meals. We were talking about meals in Oregon. What about Washington? Is there a Meals on Wheels?
Oh, absolutely.
Kind of
home-delivered meals. Mm-hmm. Right.
Home-delivered
and
meals.
It's the same
thing.
It's volunteer drivers. So we have some areas that are lacking. For example, we've got pretty much South Pacific County covered, except when you get way up towards the end of the peninsula and there's like one house out there.
Yeah.
And the north part of Raymond, South Bend area and out there. But there's the outlying areas and the in-between areas, like Nacelle is one that historically has had difficulty getting drivers to go there because there's not a large population of people that receive it there. But at the same time, family members can arrange with the meal sites, the congregate meal sites, to get the home-delivered meals and take them to them. Mm-hmm. So it takes a little more arranging and that kind of stuff and getting people to do that. But it's the same system. And you were talking about eyes in the home, Suzanne, and that's what the home-delivered meal drivers a lot of times, you know, they'll say, well, usually they come to the door and you know, we visit a bit while I'm giving them their meal. But when I took them their next meal, the other meal was still on the front porch, so I knocked and I had to check it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, and it's a lot of times when I was a case manager, that was kind of the front door. Mm-hmm. People would get home-delivered meals, and then they would kind of become less isolated and more familiar and go, yeah, maybe I could use a little more help than just a meal. And so it opens the doors to the services, too.
Well, I know, Doug, you and I have talked on this show about people's In the age group that we're talking about, which is, you know, people 65 and over, there's sort of a reluctance to ask for help. So you talk a little bit about that, that it's like, I mean, younger people are sort of like, I need help. I'm going to go find help. But, you know, it's kind of like, I don't want to get counseling because I'm not crazy.
Right.
And that kind of thing. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, it's really a cultural thing, depending upon the age. I mean, the seniors now, their parents came through the Depression.
Yes.
Right. And so that's a whole different ballgame.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's they'll accept help, but they don't want anyone – they don't want to take a chance that everything's going to fall apart again.
Mm-hmm.
These are the people that many times when you get into the home, excuse me, you find out that they've saved every scrap of tinfoil they've ever had and all of this kind of stuff because they had to at one point.
Sure, sure.
There are also people that are very reluctant to financially participate in some of their services because they, you know, I had to hang on to this money and this is what it is.
Sure.
And then the following generation, you've got the people that I call kind of the John Wayne generation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, pull yourselves up by your own bootstraps, pilgrim. You know, do it on yourself.
That was really good.
Thank you.
Do you do other impressions?
Yeah. And it's the idea that, you know, we're independent, we're Americans, we don't need anybody to help us and da-da-da-da-da-da.
Yeah,
well, that's
sure.
true. Until we do. Until we do need help.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's very difficult. There's a lot of pride in that. You know, you've got a lot of your World War II and Korean vets in there that came back and put their lives together and just, you know, went to work and made their way as best they could. And really, if I need help, I don't want to go on welfare. Not realizing that, well, you've been paying into this system all your working life.
Right.
So this is your money you're using.
Yeah, it's not really charity.
Right.
It's your own money coming back to you.
And
I
so
know.
The idea of welfare is just this sort of has this stigma to it.
Yeah, sure.
But, it's all the social services are funded by the people that are receiving it now, you know, and people that are still working like us. So there's that difficulty, too. And then, as you said, there's a generation after that. There's, well, where can I get help? I want it now.
Sure.
And, you know, I'm willing to do that.
Yeah.
Plus, you know, the generations since have access to all the social media. You know, they can go, in, okay, but just tell me what to look up.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they can Google something like home-delivered meals. Boom. It's there. It'll tell them where it is and where in your area. So there's a lot of independence there. But I think that the thing that we have to do, and it goes back to the peer counseling and options counseling and all of that is listen to what they're saying. You know, to what level do they want help? We don't need to force them. Mm-hmm. Some people will just take an inch of help, and then once they see that that's working and they're working with people that they can trust, then they'll go for more of the help that they need. Mm-hmm. So,
and I think, you know, just my observation, my dad is about to turn 97.
Wow.
And he's still living in his own home with caregiver help. But, you know, he feels really bad that he is not independent anymore. You know, I mean, he feels like he's failing somehow. And, you know, and he'll get all, you know, well, I should be doing this. And I've said to him a bunch of times, you don't have to do that anymore. That's what we're here for. Mm-hmm. And then finally, I think the other day he kind of said, oh, okay. But right. It took a long time mm-hmm. to get to
yeah,
the point of saying, you know, you've taken care of all of us for all these years, and now we're taking care of you, and just relax and kind of enjoy the support. And I think, but it is very hard for him mm-hmm. To not feel like that's a failing of his, that he's just fallen down on the job somehow. Yeah. But, mm-hmm. you know, but my gosh, you can't be super people forever,
yeah.
you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I think the majority of the people that we all work with, if there's someone that they can help, they'll jump right in. Mm-hmm. You know, they want to help anybody mm-hmm. they can, mm-hmm. and they want to be, you know, a lot of the yeah. volunteers are seniors. Mm-hmm. And they really want to help. But accepting sure. help is a little different.
Yeah, it's easier to be the care offerer than the giver, than the acceptor.
Yes.
Well, we are getting to the point in the show where it's time to give the contact information that you could. If you've been listening to the show, you're driving, you're doing something else, you're doing the dishes, and you didn't really hear anything else we said except you might have an idea that these organizations could help you, here's how to get in touch with them. So, Suzanne, can you tell us what, like, a phone number, email, website would be good.
Yeah, I'll give you our agency phone number for Northwest Senior and Disability Services. We are located in Warrenton, so just next door to the food bank. We're in a great location tucked back there. A lot of people know by the animal
shelter.
That's just down the street from us. So we're right there at the end of the street. So you can stop in or call our office for additional information at 503-861-4200.
Okay, great. And the did you say the website?
I didn't.
It's nwsds.org.
I believe so. I don't go to my own website enough to know.
Well, you can.
But that sounds right.
So what I always say is, you can Google it.
That's right.
Google Northwest Senior Disability Services. It'll pop right up.
I think that's what we do a lot now.
we discount the www that we always threw in before.
Yeah,
if I want to know how to spell a word, I Google.
I know. I was telling my dad that the other day, and he said, you can just Google it. And he was like, what are you talking about? So I was like, Googling is not for everyone, but for most people
listening. Well, now they have those nice devices, the little Hey Google and the Alexa.
Oh, yeah, oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, my gosh. I know.
I don't want to watch my speech that much.
So, Doug, North Olympic Area Agency on Aging.
Well, we have two offices, one in Long Beach, one in Raymond. And the Long Beach number is 360-642-3634. And Raymond, it's 360-942-2177. And our website is www.o3a.org, and the 3 is the number 3.
Okay, well, you've been listening to A Senior Moment, the show for and about seniors. I'm Joanne Rideout. I've been here in the studio this month with Suzanne Bjornson from Northwest Senior and Disability Services and Doug Schaefer from the Olympic Area Agency on Aging. Thanks to both of you for being here.
Thank you.
And you'll be hearing Suzanne's voice on the show with us going forward, and we're going to have a lot of fun and bring you a lot of interesting information. So until next month, have a good month, and we'll see you next time on A Senior Moment.